Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And this is what we've been waiting for, Leafs Nation. Playoff hockey, and so far it hasn't disappointed at all. We're starting off this playoff episode with a bit of a story that is giving us some good vibes for the current Leafs playoff run. So I'm going to ask Sil some questions here. What song was played in the third period of Game 2 at Scotiabank Arena?
I believe the song was Jump by Van Halen, Chris.
Yes. And what is the significance of that song for us?
Well, that song was played often in the third period of every game at Maple Leaf Gardens. So we have many playoff memories with that song.
Yes. Yeah. And that's right. So that for me is a very good sign for this Leafs playoff run. And also, a good sign is that this morning when I was doing the show notes, that song came on again as I was.
Oh, wow. Yes. So you didn't put the song on. It just happened to come on the radio?
Yes.
As soon that is a good omen.
It kind of disturbed me a little bit because then I started like, I was like all cheering and everything. Woohoo, go Leafs, go, and all that. I got all excited because that song came on. I know it's whatever. That's just a connection that me and Sil have with the song from back in the day, and it came on again. So I just think it's a good sign for us. And if you have a song that gets you into a playoff mode or into the playoff mode, DM us on social media. Our handle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is at LTL1917. And we also, speaking of social media, we also want to talk about a couple of great tweets we saw this week.
Yeah, so one of them was from former Leaf, Nazem Kadri, who tweeting to keep him out of the comparison with the treatment he got from the refs when he was a Leaf, and how the refs are not being so kind to Michael Bunting. And I guess this is specifically with reference to the suspension, which we'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, I thought that was actually quite hilarious how he chimed in on that.
Yeah, and I like the photo where they had half of the face. They put the face half of Naz and half of Bunting. I thought that was kind of funny. But it is oddly similar, though. I don't know. Although with Naz, it was more in, at least, I mean, not to say we want Michael Bunting to be suspended, but at least that was in like the first game, right? So it wasn't in game, I think it was game 4 with Naz, from what I heard. With versus Boston when he, I think it was Marchand that he drove into the boards, but on the one occasion. But I love it when like former players, when they chime in or something. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool. And yeah, and then another tweet that we saw from last night on the Saturday night game 3 was Kyle Dubas chirping a fan at Amalie Arena. Now that got my nephew, actually sent it to me originally. I didn't know about it, but it's all over social media now. And it's just, I love it. I love the passion like that. And I know, whatever, he's a GM of obviously the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're supposed to be, I'm sure Brendan Shanahan will probably tell him to maybe cool it a little bit on that front. But still, I thought it was cool that he'd basically, it looked like he was really giving it to him, whoever it was. I would have loved to heard.
Well, he had a smile on his face. So like, I think it was all in kind of good fun, really. But I don't know. I loved how like they kept going up to him in Spezza and how into it they were. Like, I'm sorry. They make themselves part of the whole experience. And I personally love that. And honestly, I don't know what other GM that they could get that would fit this team so well, but that's maybe a conversation for another time. And I hope that is like far, far down the road when we're talking about that. Yeah. But yeah, like the intensity, the way they watch the game, I don't know. I love that.
Yeah. Well, Spezza too. I mean, he's only a year removed, not even, I guess, from the game, right? So he's he probably wants to just be out there.
Right? Yeah. Like, as if he has to endear himself even more to the fan base. Like, I didn't think it was possible, but like it totally is.
Yeah.
So
So we do want to give an honorable mention to ourselves, actually, with our Perry Sucks video. If nobody has, or if anybody out there hasn't seen it, actually, it was from game two where Syl and I, we were at the game, and Scotiabank Arena went out in loud Perry Sucks chant in that game. In the, I think that was in the third period, I think. Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's like right close to the end of the game. Yeah.
And then, and then, to our surprise, afterwards, the Jay on SC show, Jay Onright on SportsCenter, they took our video and they reposted it on Twitter, and they had a good laugh too. So, so we thank them for doing that and having some fun with us too. So it was it was a fun night.
Oh yeah, the crowd was really into it, and you know, like, and you can see actually that these things, you know, don't really, you know, they don't get taken over to the following game. So it was very fun in that moment to, you know, kind of be into that with everyone. So it was good. And of course, we thank Jay Onright and the Sports Center team for giving us the credit for that video. So, all right. So a couple of quick reminders. First reminder, we are now on YouTube, so you can see us. Hello. And our handle there is the same as our other ones, is at LTL1917. So you can find us on YouTube now for every show that we publish. So, and be sure to subscribe there to our YouTube channel, and you can check out our playoff gear.
Yes. Yeah. So,
which we will be changing up every playoff show as the playoffs progress. So we hope that, you know, by the end, who knows what we're going to be wearing. But anyway, we're going to try to have some fun with it over this playoff run.
Yeah. And this is my 1993 rattle. That's part of my show. And we got these. They're quite heavy. We got these the other night, the little chain necklace things. They look a lot. And there was one huge hat. It was a massive one. I don't know where that person got that from, but that was quite interesting. A huge maple leaf, looked like an extra large baseball cap. But
we're gonna break out some of our nostalgic pieces that we have worn in playoffs past, probably as well. And also for our listeners on Spotify, there is a new feature that you'll see at the bottom of each show description. It's a Q&A where you can give us feedback on a specific episode, and we would love to hear from you there so we can make the show even better for you. All right, so now let's get into the show, and we're going to start off with some playoff Leaf talk, and then we're going to run the Ladies Talking Leafs playoff highlight reel. And in our third period segment, we're going to go around the league and we're going to take a look at some of the other first round series. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so the Leafs are in a good spot right now, leading the series with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're up 2-1. Didn't start off so well, though, in game number one. So let's start there. We won't spend too much time on it because, like we said, it was not the greatest effort. Not sure what happened there. But there was the incident with Michael Bunting resulting in the 3-game suspension that he got on it. He deserved this. He deserved the suspension, but I don't know. 3 games I thought was a little bit harsh, let's just say, I think, because they say that they say like it's double in the, so like he would get 6 games in a regular season. Like that's kind of how they compare things when you do for a playoff game, like 1 game is 2 games in the regular season. So I thought it was a little bit harsh, but, I don't know. He has one more game left. We're recording this on the Sunday, after game 3. So he'll be out for game 4. And, Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know what happened. The team just, it's like they were frozen. They didn't, and like the crowd was into it. You could tell that. And I've just never seen a Leaf team when, like, normally that first 10 minutes, that's where the team gets going with the fans and everything. But these guys, it's like it froze them or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like they weren't prepared for Tampa to come out, you know, with that with that intensity. Like I think they kind of felt like there was going to be time for them to ramp up, and they didn't get that time. And then they kind of got behind early, and then that really put their backs against the wall. And then, of course, all the penalties and that extended power play that Tampa got, that didn't help either, because they never really could get into any game flow to get it, kind of get it back. Like, there was a moment during the game, I think, where they started to. I can't remember who scored.
It was Nylander, and it was
It
was 3-2, but then they got the stupid, they got a penalty, or like the Tampa started with the shenanigans again, and and we, of course, ended up getting the extra penalty, right. And then they came back and scored.
Yeah, right? So then you know, they couldn't really build on that momentum change.
Yeah. So anyhow, so that was the 7-3 loss that they got, and then they were ready for and then tell us, Syl.
Okay, so game two obviously was much better from start to finish, and it definitely helped that Mitch Marner scored with less than a minute into the game. So they, and actually right from that moment, the way Mitch was in that at that beginning was a huge, basically told me exactly what was going to happen, because I've never seen him look mad and as intense after scoring as that. Like, normally after he scores, he's joyful. But that goal, he was like, yes! Like, he was like, that was like more angry sure. Mitch, which I've never seen. And I think that the rest of the team took that cue, and everybody basically got to business and did not let up. And also, Samsonov was really dialed in. The first game, he was really swimming in the net. He was doing, you know, he was just kind of all over the place. In this game, he was tight, compact, economical. You know, there was like no, like his rebound control was good. He was just, it was night and day how different he was. So,
yeah, no, for sure. There was the hat trick by Captain John Tavares.
Yes. So right? He also led by example.
He led by example. And you could tell that Austin Matthews, he wanted to get in on the show as well, because it was a 7-2 win for the Leafs in game two. But, he had the assist in the first game. I'm not sure what his points were in the second game, but it was just the overall team effort. Like, they showed up that night, definitely.
For sure. And I also think that Keefe made some good adjustments too, because I think it's no surprise that JT had that great game, but also Riley did. He had the four assists as well, which is really amazing. So I think he got the matchups that really, really worked in that game for us at home.
Yeah. And speaking of the matchups too, it was good. Like we were talking about before we went to the game, we wanted him, Sheldon Keefe was paying too much attention to those matchups in game one. Right. It's like we wanted him to let Austin Matthews loose, like let Mitch Marner loose. Like don't go by what John Cooper is putting on the ice and then try and match. Like just let the flow of the game go. And then the other adjustment he made too was putting O'Reilly, Ryan O'Reilly as a third line center. Mm-hmm. And and that was a key too, to have those, instead of having him with JT and Nylander, having the three centers down the line, basically having Matthews, JT and O'Reilly. So yeah, that was it was a fantastic win.
Yeah, and he also, the first game, he did not start his big guns, but he started Matthews and Marner in the second game. And he stuck with that in the third game too. And I think that's also, was a key adjustment change that he made.
Because
got to give him some credit there.
Yeah. And that, because that makes a difference to those players too. They want to be out there. Like the top players, they want to be there to start the game and just to take it all in, take in all the atmosphere. So Okay. So moving on to game three now. That was exciting stuff. And the OT heroics by Morgan Riley. Wow. I was like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I changed the channel. And I was waiting for
people. You people don't realize that Chris gets so stressed out that she sometimes can't watch. And last night was one of those times. So
even though it's only game three, I started thinking to myself, boy, how did I do it when I was like, how did I do it when I was like in my mid 20s? I could watch it all the time. Well, we were there half the time at the gardens, but with all those overtimes that they had back in those 93 series, 94. But I couldn't watch it. And then I'm like, I kept looking at my phone. I was watching Rangers Devils and I was like, okay, my phone, somebody's going to send me a text. Sure enough, I got three texts, one from Syl, one from my sister and one from my nephew. And then my mom called. So
I was like, I just think that's hilarious that even your mom called after.
That whole game was, I mean, we were not good. And I like what Sheldon Keefe said after the game. He said, like, it was such a big game for them, really, because those types of games in the past, they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, like every single Leaf fan out there said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those are the games you have to get, some of those games, if you're going to go far in the playoffs. Like, no team ever gets to the dance without winning something that they like, a game that they had no business winning. And so we got lucky on those bounces. And I thought it was interesting. And I mean, I know this is only game three and this is Tampa, and we know that they're going to come back again, you know, with their best effort. But the look on their faces after last night's game is the look that we're really familiar with. Yeah. It's that look of disbelief, like what the bleep just happened, because they played a great game and they should have won.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's a positive on our side to say that we can, we can be so much better. Right.
Oh,
so going into game four, that's the attitude and the fact. And I really think that like that OT win and the fact that we normally lose those games, I think mentally that's really going to help them moving forward
for
the Leafs. Like it's going to be a definite benefit. So,
but they can't get complacent. And this is where it's key that we have certain new guys that are going to keep their minds, you know, level.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't done anything yet, but it's definitely, I mean, obviously I love to be on this side of it. It's fun. For us.
Yeah.
You know, like that was just, I don't know, just beyond crazy. And I'm just thinking of like even the games, even as early, as recent as last year, that basically we should have won.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. 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 No.
Like game six.
Yeah. Yeah. And even the game six when Freddie was in goal too, the year which versus Boston. Versus the Bruins. I think that was in 2019. Like that was the game six where he stood on his head, but we still lost.
Yeah. Right?
So that's the thing. All these experiences that the fans have had and we've had with them as fans, like it was just great to see it go the other way. And no better person to score than our friend, Let's Go Blue.
I think, considering what he went through in that game, it was fitting and really nice that he is the one to score that winner. And I was just, I know I tweeted you.
Yes.
I did not know you weren't watching, but I tweeted you moments before that, like literally before that happened, we got two key offensive plays by defensemen. Another one of them was Hall, basically bouncing one off of the goalpost. And And I basically said to my family, I said, wow, like this is really good. This is what we need, like from our defense. And then right after that, he scored. And I was like, wow, that just, it blew my mind.
So that's more of a hockey analysis, but on my analysis on the game tying goal with Ryan O'Reilly.
Yes.
I was looking as right after I was looking at my Tim Hortons picks, where I picked Ryan O'Reilly, he scored that game-tying goal. I was looking at my phone and looking at Ryan O'Reilly, and I was like, and then he scored the game-tying goal. I was like, oh my God.
Well, is that not what we got him for, though? Oh, those types of moments? 100%. And how strong he is in front of the net. I was just like incredible. He was not going to get pushed off of that mark at all, but also key play by Willie there as well to just put it on the net close.
Yeah.
Willie did not have a good game. In fact, that whole line didn't have a great game last night. They were pretty much invisible. And at times he was looking like Mr. Willie, not doing his old stealth, you know, like just not getting really as engaged in the play, you know, just flybys, that kind of thing. I noticed that type of thing a little too much, but as it came down to it, crunch time, where he's really great, he started to show up again. And that was a moment there that he made a great, great play just to get it in on net there.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's huge. That Ryan O'Reilly factor, as we call it, as he's called. We'll get into it. Yes,
it was definitely a factor last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking ahead to games 4, 5, and 6, we obviously need to be even better. And we know that Tampa is basically, if there's any team that can amp it up and, you know, take it up another notch, it's them. But, you know, let's just talk about what's potentially going to happen in those games. So like, for example, what happens when Bunting's available to return? Who do you think is going to be out?
Yeah, I think he's going to be put in. Like I can't see them not adding, because it's just he brings something, that little something, I guess, that nastiness to the game. He's still, I mean, I'm sure he's being spoken to by Dubas or Shanahan since the suspension. I mean, he's off for the 3 games, and as to who comes out, geez, it's going to be hard. But I think they're probably going to take Knies out, I think. I don't know.
What?
Yes, I have this feeling.
No way. No? There is no way.
Okay,
no,
if not him,
way that is happening.
Then it's Lafferty then, I guess.
Maybe.
Because
him or Aston Reese.
Yeah, no, I don't think Saar. Because Saar's been with... No, because he's been with us the whole year, right? So I think he got a... Mm-hmm. It's a little thing, but I think that is something to take into account. And he seems to be, ever since the trade deadline, I mean, although I like that fourth line, but I think Bunting is going to stay on the fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's either going
That's the best way. Like if, you know, I still think that, okay, he's a good player and you need to play your good players, but you have to earn that trust back. Like he's got to work the respect and the trust of the coach again.
So he's got
to show. And the other thing is, you know, the more time he's on the ice, the more potential there is for disaster. And because you know how slimy Tampa is, they are going to key on him. They're going to try to get him to do something stupid that crosses the line.
And that's the funny thing, though, because that's what they did basically in game one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's funny, though, I was thinking at the time, too, because Matthew Knies hadn't played a playoff game at all. And he's kind of like thrown into this whirlwind situation now, which he's doing very well. But I thought, you know, Tampa may be like thinking like, or it's like, careful what you wish for sort of thing. Like when you, like maybe they obviously think not having Michael Bunting there is the better situation for them. Mm-hmm. And then having this young college kid that hasn't even played a handful of NHL games, not even, and in the playoffs, right? So, and yeah, credit to Matthew Knies, obviously, but he's, again, Sheldon Keefe has put him in the right spot there with O'Reilly and Achari, I guess, starting in game two when he was playing there. But yeah, no, it's just there's just he has to come back in. I can't see them not putting him back in. I mean, if he plays stupid and like makes another stupid play in that whatever in the I guess he'd be back for game number five at home. But if he on the Thursday night, if he does something stupid, then I can see him not getting in again, like for the series anyways.
Yeah.
That they would bring back whoever they sit out. But do you think it's going to be Lafferty?
Well, I think that he's the more likely candidate because you don't get a lot of offense from him. So like, even though he's fast and he gets, you know, I mean, he's obviously a guy that you would love for him to get a goal, but we haven't gotten a lot of points from him. So, so just for that reason alone, potentially.
Okay. Yeah. And what about on the D? What do you think of Liljegren?
Yeah. I honestly, as sad as I am to say it, in this series, I don't see him getting back in because we talk about, you know, O'Reilly being a factor because that's his nickname, but Shen has been a huge factor. And I don't think people realized how well he can play. Like he really manned the back end so well yesterday. He is allowing Riley to play his game. He made some great breakout passes. I saw a tweet by Rachel Dory today, and she was talking about how, people don't realize that how much better he got playing in Vancouver, for example, with, Quinn Hughes.
Right.
And, I think that actually could be a really good take, that he has still managed to improve and added something to his game, but he is such a calming presence out there. And that his physicality, just the fact that he's on the ice.
Yeah.
You know, I love Liljegren and he brings a lot to the table as well with the way he just makes a lot of smart plays. You know, he gets out of situations where he doesn't even have to be as physical because he's got a really good IQ that way. So, you know, being able to, you know, see what's coming kind of thing. So, but. With this Tampa squad, I don't see Shen coming out at all. And I don't know that they would take out Justin Hall. The only way I see him getting in is if they decided to do something crazy and go to that 11-7 again, but I don't really see that happening.
No.
Because they would want Justin Hall there for the penalty killing. So
Yeah. And it would be now that we're going towards the middle of the series, I think it would be just too disruptive to the D pairings. Like
you don't want to mix
it up now. Yeah.
You don't want to upset the apple cart right now.
Yeah. And Luke Shen.
Not unless something happens. But I mean, like, and truly, Hall had his best game yesterday as well.
Yeah.
And Luke played Shen within himself. He didn't make any, I mean, he almost did, but didn't make any huge, you know, untimely errors. So, and made some really good plays
as well. That continues.
But, yes, knock on wood.
But Luke Shen too. Like I just loved that in the game three where I think it was after that whole scrum with Point getting like falling into the boards heavily and all that with Riley. Yeah,
interesting that Stamkos didn't want to take him on, eh?
Yeah, no, that was ridiculous as well. That part of it, like, because he basically got like at least two cross checks in on Riley while Riley was down because he fell.
That might be where he broke his nose or hurt his nose.
Yeah, because Stamkos is like slamming him in the back from on the ice. Mm-hmm. Like he was defenseless at that point. Riley was. And then like Sheldon Keefe was saying, like Tampa knows how to play the game. They're Stanley Cup champions and they've been through it. And like the ref is holding the one hand and of Stamkos or the one arm kind of while Stamkos is punching Austin Matthews at the other hand.
Well, and leading into that, Austin is like picking up sticks and stuff, like completely not even in it at all. And Stamkos is talking to the ref, probably hearing what's going to happen. And he's like, okay, fine. I'm going to take out this guy who's their best player.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
It was ridiculous.
It was just stupid. And then they didn't. And then, but yeah, it made sense. But going back to Luke Shen, I guess, after that whole melee or whatever, he went to the, stood in the middle between the benches because the Tampa players were like yelling over at the Leaf bench. Right. And he was there standing there just smiling. And he was saying little things over to the Tampa players because obviously he knows a few of them. Right. And it was almost like he was mediating and making sure that everything was under control.
No. And I was saying, like, you know, I think that's exactly what I'm getting at, that with his calming influence is that basically a guy like that, he can say, okay, you know what? You want to mix it up? You're going to get me. If you want to mix it up with me. And if they obviously didn't want to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They didn't want to. All right. Well, we'll see what Sheldon Keefe does with the lineup moving forward. But right now.
Well, before we get there, though, I just want to ask you, like, how important do you think this next game is for us to get?
Oh, it's very important because I just don't want it to happen like last, because we won game three. Last year too in Tampa, and then we just kind of in game four, like, we just didn't show up there. We just thought, oh well, whatever, we got our split, la la la, right? Like, everything is good. No, we the fact that we didn't play a good game yesterday, especially that second period, was atrocious. I couldn't believe it. Like, Samsonov was fantastic for the second and third. He was pretty good in the first as well. There was the one soft goal in the first period that they got, but other second and third, he was fantastic. He saved us so that we could actually stay close and O'Reilly could tie.
Oh yeah. If it wasn't for him like that, we've been begging to have a goaltender steal a game for us.
Yeah.
That was it last night.
Yeah. And then, so I think it's huge to, I mean, as long as we play a good game and at least, like, if we don't end up winning it, as long as it's close. And but of course, yes, it's not crucial, but close to it to in my opinion, to win that game. And and I have a good feeling, only because we played so horribly yesterday in that game, we managed to win. And we have that experience from last year. And there are obviously the same core group is there. So those are the lessons learned, as they say.
Yes.
Continue to say. And so they've learned that lesson last year. So this year they need to show up for game four and just play like they did in game two.
And, yes.
And just take it to them. And if they do that, positive, they'll get the win. But if they don't and they play that way, well, then obviously Tampa was just better on the night. But I'm hoping for good things. So we'll see anyways what happens with what Sheldon Keefe does with the lineup tomorrow and moving forward. But now it's time to roll our Ladies Talking Leafs playoff highlight reel.
Okay. So coming in at number three, we have Ilya Samsonov. We have to agree with the Leafs goaltender when he says Sammy never breaks, and ain't that the truth? So no doubt Sammy was off in game one, as were his teammates. But in game two, he was good when he had to be. And in game three, he was the reason the game was even close. And like I just said, he stole that game for us. So especially in the second and third periods, he stopped 39 shots. So
in total in game number three. So yeah, there's, I mean, I had a good laugh. I was telling Syl before we came on the show how, Sheldon Keefe today was, they were asking him how come Samsonov wasn't made available to the media last night after game three. And he's like, have you spoken to Andre Vasilevsky lately to the media? And it's like, yeah, like he said, he's like, I want my goaltender to focus on playing goal. He doesn't have to. I mean, he's been made available I think he was available
a lot more than Vasilevsky. I hardly recall any Vasilevsky interviews. So why is it? It's like, that's just another area where it's like different rules for the Leafs.
But I mean, he's played really well. I just hope it continues and that he's okay. I mean, he's a little bit, you worry about the injury. That's all sort of thing. He, mm-hmm. Something is a little bit bothering him. They're managing it, I think. And kudos to him for being like sticking with it and just, working through it. And hopefully there's going to be a couple of days off in between games four and five.
Yeah, no, I was just going to mention that little bit of extra rest will be good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just been great. And I love that quote of his, Sammy never breaks. Okay. Moving on to number two is the current longest serving Toronto Maple Leaf, Morgan Riley. So he had 4 assists in game 2. He was unbelievable in game 2, and which tied the Leaf playoff record for most assists in a game by a defenseman. And of course, he was the OT hero in game number 3. I still picture his dad when he was drafted. I've told this story, I think, a few times before on our show, where when he was drafted and his dad just went, yes. He's like, right when he heard that he was coming to the Leafs. There, his family's huge Leaf fans, even though he's from Vancouver or out west. It couldn't have happened to a better guy and a leader on the team, definitely. And looking for more. I mean, for the amount of crap he was, like everybody's saying at the end of the season, like
that's what I was just gonna say.
Yeah,
you know, with the he's contract. Basically. People wanted him to be traded for a bag of pucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same as the way Mitch was basically at the beginning of the year in the regular season. Everybody's saying like, oh, well, and then Mitch goes on like this 19 game or whatever it was, 22 games, like the point streak that he had during the regular season. Right. It's like, okay, yeah. Where are you going to get a guy that does that for you? And with the bag of pucks sort of thing, right? So but Morgan Riley is definitely worthy of our number two on the highlight reel.
That's right. And now for the number one spot, we are actually picking a line, a trio of players. We're going to call them the factor line because obviously Ryan O'Reilly is the captain of that line. He obviously led the way with 16 points in 16 games as a Leaf and tying the game up in game number 3. Just a clutch performance, which is obviously why we got him. His line mates, Noel Achari, he chipped in with his first goal of the playoffs in game 3 and he's providing that playoff grit that is so important. And the rookie, Matthew Nyes, the kid is all right. He's getting his first NHL, got his first NHL playoff point, an assist on the Achari goal. But I have to say with Nyes in particular, he doesn't know that this moment is too big for him. He looks so confident out there, so poised. He's made some little mistakes, but none of them have made it into the back of the net. Really? So I am completely floored by how composed he is and the skill that he possesses, especially off the boards in tight. He's able to make a play and end up, you know, pushing it down to the other end of the ice, even in the defensive zone. Like he is just very smart player and can make some really key plays like that, like his pass in for Achari's goal. That was beautiful.
Yeah. And he also, in game number 1, he got 2 chintzy calls against him. I don't recall how old he is. He has to be, let's say, 20 years old. He's 20. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, being put into a position he is, he's getting the opportunity, but he's never played in the he's played, 3 games in the NHL. But not the intensity, obviously, of a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And then he gets those 2 chintzy calls in game number 1 that, like, he barely touched the one guy that was, it was a hooking call, I think. It was either hooking or slashing. And so he's learning along the way, but he's...
Yeah, he's a quick learner.
Yeah.
Which you can see.
Yeah, but even he said, too, today in the... media availability, he even said, he's like, I'm showing a lot more maturity than I thought I had.
So he's even surprising himself. That's actually, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was funny too. So, but yeah, no, that line as a whole, and obviously Ryan O'Reilly is the leader, and he's dragging us. We said this in our, I guess, playoff preview show, last show, like he's going to drag us through, like nobody, like you were saying earlier, nobody would stand in front of the net like that. And it was funny though, because to tie the game in game three, he wasn't really taking that much of a beating by those Tampa players. Like he wasn't getting cross-checked or whatever. Like the Tampa players, it's almost like they didn't know what to do, because he's such a strong player in front of the net. And he's just a smart player. And yeah, he's a factor. He's a factor in.
Did you see that one play where he basically, this is also towards the end of the third period, where he basically got a line on one of the Tampa guys and was skating into their offensive zone. He was like followed by like three different Tampa guys, and he basically passed the puck to himself by hitting it off the backboards and got a shot off.
Yeah.
Almost scoring.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about him.
Yes.
Yeah. He is special. I think he's magic.
Yeah.
You know, we have Magic Mitch, but this guy's got a different kind of magic. He is a special player. And yeah, we are so lucky to have him right now.
And Noel Achari, I mean, the fact that he came with O'Reilly from St. Louis, obviously he from the Blues, that like they played together, and he's the quieter guy, let's just say.
He's not quite on the ice.
He's doing things, that's for sure.
Yes.
And he's an integral part of that, of that line too. Just with his physicality, the toughness, he goes into the corners in front of the net, whatever. And he managed to get that goal last night too, the first goal and the first playoff point for Nice. So so that's that line, it was just awesome since Keith put them together.
And also with O'Reilly, he was key on that that winning goal well.
Yeah.
Because he won that. He's been so good on the faceoffs, and I will say too, like, we were crap on the dot for that whole game, including halfway through. I looked at Matthew's stats, and he was like, at one point he was like 33% in the faceoff circle,
and we were icing the puck all night,
all the time. I know, it was terrible, but by the end of the night he got over 50%. So he started to get more dialed in, and the whole team started to get better as the game went on. But O'Reilly is so steady there. Like he's definitely the guy right now. Like we had Spezza last year for that. So good in the faceoff circle. And that's another key area that O'Reilly is just so great. Yeah. So, you know, in a key moment like that, you get a faceoff win, and look what it did. All right. So honorable mention, we have a couple other people to mention. We have John Tavares, who had the hat trick in game two, which God, like that just tells you how many good things happen, because that didn't make our highlight reel, which is shocking.
And that was huge. That was huge for that game, and just for him.
And the psyche of the team. Also, I think was really
being
big.
The captain and everything. Yeah, that was that was huge.
And then also we want to mention Magic Mitch Marner, who is buzzing in this series, and he's got 8 points in the first three playoff games. He actually leads the NHL for playoff points right now. And this also ties former Leaf captain Ted Kennedy, and is 1 point behind Daryl Sittler.
So, you can't say enough about that. So basically the core five, let's just say, is really, and now we're going to, I guess I'm hearing now we're adding in the core six with the O'Reilly.
Yes, I saw the new collage.
Yeah.
It's actually quite nice.
Yeah. So they're getting it done. Matthews scored on that, like when Mitch just ripped the shot. From the point, again, he's just like ripping it from the point, whatever. And then Matthews happened to tip it. And then Nylander getting in on the, on that OT goal that was, on his pass. So they're all contributing in big ways. And, and we need to see more of that moving forward, even more definitely, because Tampa's obviously Tampa's not going to just lie down. Like they're, that's just not the way they are. No,
no. And their coach would never let that happen.
Yeah. And either. Yeah. And I'm sure we're going to hear from Corey Perry again.
Yes. Yeah. Sadly. Yes. But he wasn't much of a factor last night. So I have to say.
Yeah.
So anyway, obviously this is the best time of year for hockey fans and you get hockey every night. So we're going to also take a look at what's going on in a few of the other series in our third period segment. So Chris, take it away.
Yeah. So for the third period, we're going to start off with the Canadian teams. I've been paying attention more so to the Oilers series, but let's just start off with the Jets series and the Vegas Golden Knights. You kind of felt bad for them. It was kind of like the similar situation as, well, they were the home team, obviously. So they lost in overtime in that game two. Game three in Winnipeg. Yeah. And they had that whiteout and all that. Like that was, like it's always amazing to see what the other fan bases have or that are doing. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm torn whether or not Vegas can get it done because I just don't think their goaltending is up to like with Hellebuck in goal.
Yeah.
But then the Knights might have something just because of that overtime win. I'm just thinking that in Winnipeg, like it really shut them down. Like they came back they were losing 4-2 in that game. Yeah. And they came back and
they scored those two goals late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible. But you know, that's something else that like, I know like you can say that, oh, okay, they lost in overtime, but they came back. I still think that could carry over for them. And like you said, with Hellebuck in goal, you know, that's almost like having Vasilevsky in goal. Like you always have a shot, right? So,
they have to win the next game at home. Like they got to get the split like at home. Definitely. Yes. They can't go down 3-1. There's no way.
Well, Winnipeg was one of the teams that I picked that potentially could play spoiler and pull off the upset. I actually think like they have enough talent. Although now I think that Josh Morrissey, he got hurt in that game. So that is a huge, huge...
he's out for the series. They said that.
Yeah.
I think it was knee on knee. I saw that.
Yeah. It was a weird, weird kind of collision. Yeah. But yeah, so that's like a huge, huge loss for them. So that's the one thing that could work against them maybe.
And then the Oilers and the Kings. I just laugh at that one with the other night, I guess the overtime goal with the Kings winning in overtime. But, they were, of course, comparing it to our situation in 93 with the high stick. He did that. I think it was Iafallo.
Like, I think it did. I think it did touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did they review that? Do you know if
they were? I think they did review it and it was looked at multiple times, but, or maybe it's just because it was looked at multiple times on the internet.
Yeah.
So I don't know for sure. But, but it, to me, the multiple angles that I saw, it looked like it hit. So
yeah,
but you know what? If you can't, you're not winning or losing a game on that play. And unlike our situation in 93, there was blood. So
yeah,
you know, it's a face versus a puck.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, but yeah, no, it's funny though, because like, everyone was saying, like, you know, with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, like, the Oilers should have this series, like, well in hand. Not to say it was going to be a sweep, but they were.
Is it not the same as us in past years? You know, look at the people that we have that have been basically, you know, neutralized.
Yeah.
So this is a pattern. This is a storyline that happens. It's been happening season after season in Edmonton with Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
You know, if he was Matthews or Marner, the questions would be, you know, he needs to adapt.
Yeah. 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 Do you think
he's going to get keyed in on?
Yeah. I don't think so. But do you think Jack Campbell will get in at all?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think they trust him.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, to put him in now, like he hasn't played enough, basically, towards the end of the regular season. Yeah,
but I mean, that could be a change that could help them. But I don't know. I mean, they weren't blown out in that last game, so
yeah. And Hyman hasn't really. I don't know. I haven't really noticed him that much in the series, like to have his name out there. Yeah. The guy looks so much bigger. I don't know. It's kind of strange, like as opposed to when he was in the Leafs uniform.
Well, maybe he is bigger. Maybe he's put on a little more bulk or something.
I don't know. He looks a lot bigger, but he's he's in the crease. Like I can see he's doing his usual Hymanator, Zach Hyman stuff, but he hasn't. I don't know. To me, he hasn't factored in on too much of the offense for the Oilers. So we'll see tonight. I guess I hate these times of the West Coast games. Oh my God!
Yeah,
it's a little bit too much for me. But but that's why we're only catching tonight's at 9 Eastern time. So at least I'll be
that's not too bad.
Probably into the second period. Yeah.
All right, so then let's flip back to the East and talk a little bit about Rangers and Devils. That's another tough series. That's a real battle.
Yeah. But then it's kind of funny. The Rangers took the two in Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. And the two games. And then last night, the Devils got one back at MSG. So, but yeah, it's definitely.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say that there's like any home ice advantage there because of where they both play. So, yes. you're going to have the same.
And most of the shirts that you saw in New Jersey were blue.
Yeah.
I saw in the crowd, right? The Rangers jerseys. But yeah, they played some kid last night, the Devils in goal.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play I don't know the name of the goaltender there, but yeah, they played some kid and he managed to get the win. So, so that was good. And, yeah, I mean, it's always, I guess on Twitter, I saw now people are going on about Panarin. I guess he's not playing the best, Artemi Panarin on the Rangers. He's not getting the points that, people are expecting. Patty Kane is playing well.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be okay, but,
well, chalk one up for experience there.
Yeah. 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 For sure. Yeah. And what about the other series?
So then we also are going to look a little bit at Boston and Florida. I kind of want them to beat each other up a little bit more even than they already are. But Florida's not letting them walk over them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I still think in the end Boston's going to win. But
Yeah, no, I know. Like you're saying, like with Matthew Tkachuk, like he... He hasn't, I don't know, to me, he hasn't like the nastiness from him, like the usual thing.
I think he can dig down and like he needs to get in touch with his own inner rat there. Yes. And, but I mean, that's the thing. Like who knows, like we don't know if Bergeron's going to get back in at all. The thing with Boston is they're, as great as Allmark's been. It's unproven too, so.
Well, even he wasn't that great in the second game, I think it was in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was even the chance that they thought that they were going to put that Jeremy Swayman in goal for game three. They didn't, but yeah, he wasn't that great in that second game. And then, I don't know. It's an interesting series. Again, Florida has to. Boston's up 2-1 now, so Florida's going to have to get the split at home again to win and go back to Boston. Hopefully, tie the series up. So,
we definitely want that one to go 7.
Yes, yeah, we don't want to give either team any extra rest. No.
All right. So, well, in our next show, we're gonna probably look at some of the other games, Wild versus Stars, Canes versus Islanders, and Kraken versus Avalanche. It's possible that by our next show, well, I think probably most of those will be over.
Yeah.
But we'll recap some of them.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. So for now though, we're excited to see how the rest of the Leafs Lightning series plays out. And all I'll say is that I have a good feeling right now. We'll see what happens game 4.
I agree. And also don't forget to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen or watch us, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, because we are, just a reminder, we are going weekly during the playoffs. So you can find us here again next Wednesday.
Yeah. So be sure to follow us also on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917. We love hearing from Leafs Nation, so please comment on any of our posts with your thoughts on the game and our show. And a reminder to leave us a rating or review on our show and let us know what you think. It's easy on Apple or Spotify, and it's important to our show to get more exposure as a source for Leaf content, and we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can buy us a coffee, which supports our show. Any donations towards us helps produce our show and make it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on any of our show notes or our social media profile pages.
Yep. And as always, we want to take the time to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
So thanks as always for listening and for watching on YouTube now. But until next time, go Leafs go!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.